Good day, and welcome to the Semler Scientific Third Quarter 2019 Financial Results Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Before we begin, Semler Scientific would like to remind you that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements. Such statements can be identified by words such as may, will, expect, anticipate, estimate, or words with similar meaning, and such statements involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause Semler Scientific's actual results to differ materially from those discussed here. Please note that these forward-looking statements reflect Semler Scientific's opinions only as of the date of this presentation, and it undertakes no obligation to revise or publicly release the result of any revision of these forward-looking statements in light of new information or future events. Please refer to Semler Scientific's SEC filings for a more detailed description of the risk factors that may affect Semler Scientific's results in these forward-looking statements. Please note this event is being recorded. Now, I would like to introduce Doug Murphy-Chutorian, CEO of Semler Scientific. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining the Semler Scientific Third Quarter 2019 Financial Results Call. I am happy to report that I'm feeling quite well after having a mild stroke earlier this year, and I'm pleased to be talking to all of you now. Thank you for your patience during the past few months, and now I'd like to introduce Dennis Rosenberg, Chief Marketing Officer of Semler, to begin our presentation today. Dennis, please start.
Thanks, Doug. We always like to begin our calls with a reminder about Semler's strategy. Semler is an emerging growth company that provides technology solutions to improve the clinical effectiveness and efficiency of healthcare providers. Our mission is to develop, manufacture, and market innovative products that assist our customers in evaluating and treating chronic diseases. We believe that our technology and software solutions enable our customers to identify when preventive care options are appropriate and to intervene before events like heart attacks and strokes occur. We're pleased to report that the company's financial performance during the third quarter of 2019, based on revenue and net income, was the best quarter in our company's history. Comparing results between the third quarter of 2019 and the third quarter of 2018, revenue grew 60%, pre-tax income grew 112%, earnings per share, which includes an income tax benefit, were $1.20 per basic share and $0.96 per diluted share. Earnings per share excluding the income tax benefit were $0.47 per basic share and $0.38 per diluted share. Cash as of September 30th was $8.5 million compared to $3.1 million one year prior. During the quarter, we saw increased orders and usage for our QuantaFlo product from our current insurance company customers and from our home risk assessment customers. We also received orders from new customers. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Andy Weinstein, our Senior Vice President of Finance and Accounting, to describe in more detail the ongoing improvement in financial performance. Andy?
Thanks, Dennis. Please refer to the financial results described in the press release that was distributed at market close today. For the quarter ending September 30th, 2019, compared to the corresponding period of 2018, Revenue was $8.9 million, which is an increase of $3.3 million, or 60%, from $5.6 million at that time last year. Operating expense, which includes cost of revenue, was $5.8 million, an increase of $1.8 million, or 46 cents, from $4 million. Our pre-tax income was $3.1 million, which is an increase of $1.6 million over the $1.5 million at the same time last year. We reported an income tax benefit of $4.7 million, which was primarily due to the release of a tax valuation allowance. Accordingly, we achieved net income of $7.8 million for the quarter, an increase of $6.3 million from $1.5 million. Net income per share, inclusive of the tax benefit, was $1.20 per basic share and 96 cents per diluted share, which compares to 24 cents per basic share and 19 cents per diluted share during the same period last year. Earnings per share, excluding this income tax benefit, was 47 cents per basic share and 38 cents per diluted share. For the quarter ending September 30th, 2019, basic share count was 6,492,501, and the diluted share count was 8,108,053. Analyzing the expense categories and earnings in the third quarter of 2019 as a percentage of quarterly revenue, cost of revenue was 11% of quarterly revenue. Engineering and product development expense was 7% of quarterly revenue. Sales and marketing expense amounted to 26% of quarterly revenue. And general and administrative expenses were 21% of quarterly revenue. Pre-tax income was 35% of quarterly revenue. As of September 30th, 2019, Semler had cash of $8.5 million, which is an increase of $4.3 million compared to $4.2 million at June 30th, 2019, the end of last quarter. This change was primarily due to cash provided by operations from net income as adjusted by such items as accounts receivable, which decreased $218,000, deferred revenue increased $241,000, and accrued expenses increased $723,000. This cash was partially offset by purchases of inventory and capital expenditures, which amounted to $508,000. As a result of these items, our stockholders' equity is now at $14.1 million as of September 30th, 2019. Our quarterly report on Form 10-Q will be filed in several days and will include our cash flow statement and more discussion of cash and our liquidity. The release of the income tax benefit this quarter was due to the recent history of positive earnings before income taxes for the past 8 straight quarters and a variety of other factors. Our 3 largest customers comprised 47%, 15.7%, and 12.4% of quarterly revenues. Our license fees were approximately $5.95 million. Variable priced revenues were approximately $2.66 million, and equipment sales were $291,000. Although we do not provide formal guidance, we are intent on continuing annual revenue growth, continuing our profitability, and generating cash during the remainder of 2019 and 2020. It is the opinion of the management team that this customer interest in our product and services is continuing to increase. Now I will ask Dennis to continue the discussion and provide concluding remarks. Dennis?
We believe annual revenue will continue to grow through the end of 2019 and into 2020 as a result of increased numbers of installations of our product, more usage of our product, and recurring revenue from the licensing business. Our goal is to make both new additions to our customer base and to expand orders from existing customers, both of which we did this quarter. During the third quarter, Semler again expanded its infrastructure and headcount. We now have 62 employees. operating expenses are expected to increase from quarter to quarter during the remainder of 2019 and 2020. It is our intent to expand our infrastructure to accommodate anticipated future growth of the business. During the third quarter of 2019, we continued to add to our assets for lease with purchase of inventory. These increases are indicative of management optimism for future growth in installations and may include stocking of key components of the product and/or replacement inventory for sensors sold to licensed customers. The amount of purchases made in the third quarter will be disclosed in the Form 10-Q to be filed in several days. We often get asked about uplisting to the NASDAQ exchange. Our position on uplisting has not changed. We are not focusing on this in 2019. We will update you if and when our plans change. There is also no plan to raise additional capital at this time. We reserve the right to change our financing plans as opportunity or as need arises. Our goals for the remainder of 2019 and 2020 are to grow annual revenue, increase earnings, and to further establish our QuantaFlow product as a standard of care in the industry. We believe that the market for vascular disease testing is large relative to our current market penetration, so there's plenty of room for continued growth. We continue to invest in R&D with the goals of providing enhanced value to our customers now and in the future. We believe Semler Scientific is well positioned in the current healthcare market environment because we deliver cost-effective wellness solutions for the care of patients with chronic diseases. We may improve health outcomes for patients by identifying those who benefit from preventive health measures. We provide economics that work for the providers, the facilities, the insurance plans, the government, and the patient. In conclusion, the third quarter of 2019 was an achievement record for our company in terms of both financial performance and the number of patients being tested with our products. Thank you for your interest in the company and your continued support. Now, operator, please open the lines. Doug, Andrew, and I will be happy to address your questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Our first question comes from Kyle Bowser with Dougherty & Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, great to hear from you, Doug, and that you're recovering nicely, and good to meet you, Dennis and Andy.
Thank you, Kyle.
So another excellent quarter here. Dennis, we've seen some really nice growth within your largest customer. So 45% year-over-year growth. It comprises roughly half your business. And it's fortunate that you're able to kind of leverage their infrastructure regarding the rollout and training of the technology themselves. So how has your level of activity within this account sort of changed? Are you still actively marketing to new branches of operations and physician groups in this account, or has your role become, you know, more support since the new business has been somewhat self-sustaining there?
Go ahead, Doug.
Oh, yes. I was saying, go ahead, Dennis. Please answer the question.
Sure. I was going to say that we continue to see growth within the account. As the account itself grows and our presence in it continues to grow, it's not in stasis. So while we're in maintenance with the business we have, we are seeing expanded growth inside.
Okay. And it looks like the new big customer, presumably that we heard about a year ago, is definitely a per-use client or likely an HRA that's now doing over $1 million a quarter, which is phenomenal. Are you finding that the remaining kind of large payers are electing to go with the HRAs to administer QuantaFlow rather than implementing it themselves? Or Do you think we'll see some large new payers choose to the licensing option in the coming months?
Dennis, we would like to think so. New customers or HRAs, either way they start, they probably are going to switch to the other way because it's economically and useful for them to do this, and because it's better for the patients. So these are the reasons they consider future growth from all aspects of the business.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, that's helpful. And if we're kind of staying on that theme, if we're talking more broadly a bit about the sales and marketing strategy across the three channels, so large payer, licensing, QuantaFlow, the HRAs, and then the individual practices, can you talk a little bit about how you're addressing these? I mean, selling into the big administrators of Medicare Advantage is likely quite a bit different than knocking on doors of the physician practices. So can you talk a bit about how you're addressing each of these channels and how the headcount might fluctuate as a result?
I think we are concentrating on the basically the insurer market because they are the drivers of all the other markets. So anyway, we're structuring to provide larger companies the services they need. And this changes many forms. So we're constantly developing and putting R&D dollars to work, constantly improving the product and our delivery of it.
Okay. And the financial question, Andy, I know you use contract manufacturers to produce, assemble, and ship QuantaFlow, but can you remind me how many partners you have and more specifically kind of what the consolidated capacity is before you're going to have to qualify additional CMOs to keep up with demand?
Okay. Andy, I will answer the question, and you can speak to it later. We have a capacity at more than one contract manufacturer that more than meets our foreseeable demands in the future. We don't give a lot of details about this, but we have done all American companies, and there is no problem meeting our demand or the demands from the marketplace.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot for taking the questions. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle.
Our next question comes from Frank Takkinen with Lake Street Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. Congratulations on another great quarter. Doug, great to hear you're progressing well, and nice to meet you, Dennis and Andy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, so I just got a couple questions. First one, big picture question. Obviously, we've seen very strong growth continue to perform, and given that you're still in the single digits from a penetration standpoint, I was just hoping you could talk a little bit about what are some of the big picture things you need to do to, say, maybe double or triple your installed base over the long term.
I think that we are doing everything we can. I don't think fundamentally we have to do anything different. Margins are good. The sales team is effective. And the customers think our value proposition is agreeable. So it's more a matter of doing more of the same rather than doing anything different. So the challenge is hiring the number of people we are going to need, as you suggest, doing three or four times more business. We need to hire additional trainers and technical support people. This is the challenge that we face, and I assume we have been doing a good job at that, so I'm assuming it won't be a problem in the future.
That's great. Thank you. And then just secondly, with your cash coming up as much as it did this quarter, just curious how you guys are thinking you may use some of that cash, if that's pursuing new products, or if you potentially could go the opposite of what you were saying in this fact in regards to issuing shares and potentially think about putting in place some sort of buyback.
We haven't decided what to do with the accumulating cash, other than we tend to invest in ourselves, doing R&D and other things. And I think we want to stress this plan, not a plan of getting additional financing or et cetera. So it's basically to invest in the current product and maybe invest in ourselves with additional R&D.
That's great. That's all the questions I have. Thank you, and congrats on another good quarter.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Brian Marks with Zacks Investment Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody, and congrats on the quarter. Doug, great to hear your voice. Glad to hear you're back.
Thank you.
Just one on seasonality of the business. I think it has been seasonally favoring Q4. Maybe that's just the way that the growth is making it look. But if you could just talk about that, is there any seasonality in the business, and does it favor Q4?
We have thought that we are going to see seasonality in the business because one of the groups, HRAs, is a seasonal business, lower in the first quarter and better throughout the year. But we have not seen that yet. Anyway, I think that by adding more customers, we have a camouflaged the appearance of seasonality. So I suspect that we're going to see it, but I don't have evidence who has it exists. So I say not yet.
Okay. Wondering about if you could just talk a little bit about if you're seeing anything competitive threats, whether it be technologies, new technologies, or anything else in the space that you worry about that could slow the growth.
Dennis, you could answer this.
Sure. What we're seeing competitive-wise is really just more of what we have been seeing, which is cuff and Doppler-based kind of traditional PAD systems that are out there and have been out there for some time. We're not really seeing anything other than that as far as a new competitive threat.
Okay. you talked a little bit about CapEx. I don't know if you can talk to this or not, but I'll ask the question, and you can tell me if you can talk about it. Just curious as to what you think in terms of CapEx levels on a yearly basis. Looks like 2017 and 2018 were roughly pretty close, between right around $900,000, I think, and I'm talking about the assets for lease. Do you expect that to remain around there? Do you expect any significant increase going forward?
Well, we have been growing CapEx and good weight. Factors that are in the consideration are in earlier years, we had more capital equipment on our CapEx, but in the later years, more sensors that are more inexpensive. So this CapEx is really, really growing on a per unit basis, but you don't see that as a absolute value basis. So it's a consideration, and all the units are now more than some of them are more than 3 years old, and so the depreciation is going away. So anyway, these are multiple factors that are make answering your question a little more details than I have time to go into.
Yep, that's great. Appreciate it, Doug. Thanks a lot. That's all I had.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Doug Murphy-Katorian for any closing remarks.
Thank you for joining us today. I appreciate the support and continued support of our business. If you have any additional questions, I can be contacted post the call at any time. You're free to call me and arrange an appointment, because I want to answer your questions completely, and it takes me a little longer to answer them now. So bear with me, and have a good day and evening to you all. Bye now.
Take care.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.